The House will come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Welcome to Capital Ideas. If you're new here, if you just found us because you want to hear what Representative Chris Stearns has to say, I'm glad you're here. On the other hand, if you've been here for the whole 16-year ride, welcome back. This is a good one. Before I go further, I'll say that Capital Ideas is the podcast where members of the Majority Democratic Caucus in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. These are ideas about how to bring Washingtonians together and improve their lives. Ideas about safe communities, a strong economy, and a healthy planet, starting right here in the Evergreen State. Today's ideas are courtesy of Representative Chris Stearns. Chris is just wrapping up his first two-year term working for his friends and neighbors in the 47th District, which he'll describe in just a minute. We recorded this conversation on Monday, April 8th, 2024, in Auburn, Washington, and it starts now. We're here with Representative Chris Stearns from the 47th Legislative District. Welcome to Capital Ideas, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be the first time we've had a chance to sit down and talk. So everything we say here is going to be brand new as far as I know, and I'm really looking forward to it. You have just wrapped up your first biennium as a lawmaker here in Washington State, and I think the first thing I'd like to find out is, what's your impression after your first two sessions?
I'd say it was everything I kind of thought it would be and a lot more. It was an amazing experience. You know, I just can't say how much fun I had, honestly.
I think every lawmaker that comes down here has some things in mind, some priorities that they expect to hit the ground and work on. And for you, how would you describe what maybe motivated you to want to fix? Why are you here?
In my case, I spent, you know, a few years on the local Auburn City Council, and, you know, so I'm already familiar with, you know, the concerns that a lot of the constituents here in the 47th have, you know, regarding public safety, homelessness, and the drug crisis. So those were, you know, things that I really thought about, you know, well ahead of getting sworn in and well ahead of getting my office opened in Olympia.
How do you feel about the progress you made on the priorities that you came down here with? I know you've sponsored bills that have to do with pretty much each of the things you've listed here.
Yeah, you know, I guess I was prepared to and ready to vote for, in the first session last year, you know, restoring the ability of police officers to pursue criminals. We got that partial restoration of those powers through. And then this year I voted to fully restore the power. So I think we made some progress there. I also, you know, worked with the city of Kent to develop a bill to allow them to afford to be able to hire more police officers. And I know that's something that also is important to Auburn and Covington. So I feel like, you know, we definitely made some progress. At the same time, I think we also worked on preventing more catalytic converter thefts, again, public safety. We spent a lot of time, and I've spent a lot of time working on dealing with the opioid and the fentanyl crisis, you know, offering people more solutions to where they can get help. We're actually just across the street from a really large opioid treatment center that is actually run by the Muckleshoot tribe, which is right next door to us. And so been able to work with tribes around the state to also help them offer treatment and hope for people who are addicted or are just suffering from opioids and fentanyl.
Let me jump back for a minute. It's been a few years since I've interviewed anybody from the 47th District. I think that former Majority Leader Pat Sullivan was the last person who was on Capital Ideas from this district. So let me get you to describe this district. I know you live in Auburn. the 47th district is more than Auburn.
Yeah, it's a South King County district. It encompasses Auburn, Kent, and Covington. Auburn's like 90,000, Kent's 130-some thousand. Covington's a little bit smaller, a little bit more rural, but we also have unincorporated King County. For instance, like one of the really amazing venues in our district is the Emerald Downs Racetrack. You know, so if you look around, there's definitely, you know, trains and highways, but there's also a lot of horse farms. Horses are an important part of the regional economy here. You know, we've got an amazing rivers. The Green River, of course, is the big river, but we're also right in the shadow of Mount Rainier. It's actually a beautiful place.
With Emerald Downs being so close, I guess it's not a huge coincidence that one of your committee assignments that I suppose you requested was to be on the Regulated Substances and Gaming Committee.
Yeah, I actually, you're right. I did request that. My outside career is I'm an attorney, and I work for a law firm that is national, and we represent Indian tribes all over the country. So I've worked in the gambling space for a large part of my career, and that's a major reason why I requested the RSG, Regulated Substances and Gaming Committee. And it's a bonus, of course, that, you know, we're right next door to the Muckleshoot Tribe, and they own Emerald Downs, and Emerald Downs is right in our district, and so it's a great fit.
You're also the vice chair of the State Government and Tribal Relations Committee, which certainly seems to dovetail there with your background and your interests.
Absolutely. I'm lucky. I get to be vice chair of two committees, and the state government is certainly, it's a small committee, but it's you know, really pretty broad in scope. I mean, the state touches almost everything, but, you know, really at ground zero, of course, are elections and election safety. So that's something, you know, that means a lot to people here, that the, you know, the elections are well run, that they're safe, that the people who work for the elections offices are safe. There are a lot of volunteers here in the district who work at King County Elections.
In a lot of states now, it seems like voting bills are designed to keep people from voting. And in Washington, over the last few years, it seems to have gone just the other way. The goal here seems to be to make sure that every person who is qualified to vote gets a chance to do that and have their vote counted.
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of success on that front. You know, I moved to Washington from the East Coast, so I came here sort of used to standing in line and the early hours of the morning trying to get into the basement of a church, and that was something. It wasn't always easy to vote, but the mail-in, I was a little bit skeptical of how that works, and it turns out it works great. I think we have really, you know, good voter participation. It's very accurate, and I think we can, you know, always make some improvements, but we have a good system here.
Your third committee is Capital Budget Committee, and I've noticed a list of some of the things that are in the capital budget that seem to be good for the 47th District. I don't guess that's a coincidence, is it?
No, one of the great things about working in Olympia is the chance to fight for projects and things that really make a difference in people's lives. So it can be capital budget. We've had a series of fires here in Auburn, in downtown Auburn. One of the buildings that was destroyed was the Auburn Avenue Theater, which is sort of a hub of the city. So I was fortunate enough to be able to use, you know, my position on capital budget to get, you know, money to rebuild the Auburn Avenue Theater. You know, working, of course, closely with not only my colleagues in the 47th, Representative Eneman and Senator Kaufman, but, you know, Auburn and Kent are really divided up a number of different ways. So I was able to work, you know, with Representative Eric Robertson on funding for the Auburn Avenue Theater. And we also got funding to rebuild a downtown plaza in Auburn. I worked in Kent, worked to get a brand new park in East Hill of Kent, which is a little bit more away from downtown, but it also sort of serves neighborhoods that, you know, haven't had parks and are a little bit more diverse than other parts of Kent. So that was really great to see. And then also we are about, maybe a quarter mile or so from the Green River, and Salmon are really important. There was a brand new culvert built just up the street that's really done wonders. It was done by King County, but in Covington, you know, as part of the widening that I was able to get for 272nd Street, we're putting in a brand new massive culvert over Jenkins Creek so salmon can go down the creek and up the creek, I guess, from the Green River.
You know, you just mentioned working with a Republican on a particular project, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. In the House, there's 58 Democrats and 40 Republicans, and so theoretically, the Democrats could pass pretty much whatever bills they want, but that rarely happens in a highly partisan fashion. Bipartisanship does seem to be kind of a tradition down in Olympia.
Yeah, that actually, I'd spent some time in my previous career working in Washington, D.C., and I worked in Congress as a committee counsel up on the Hill in the House. And man, it was like cats and dogs. I mean, people just showed up for work and, you know, put on their warrior suits and went at it all day long. I wasn't really sure, you know, driving down that first day, you know, as a brand new legislator, what it would be like in Olympia. I was like, wow, is it going to be like back in D.C.? Are people going to be at each other's throats? And the answer is no. Actually, people really do get along. And I think there's, you know, a lot of respect that flows back and forth across the aisle. And there are things that, you know, you just really decide, you know, we need to work on this together. You know, an example is I also spent time in the energy industry, and we used to work at the energy department. So when I joined the legislature, one of my colleagues, Representative Stephanie Barnard, she comes from the Tri-Cities, the 8th District, and has had a lot of experience working on nuclear energy. So I joined her on the nuclear energy caucus that she started. And so I was able to, you know, help out, again, being on capital budget, sponsoring a $25 million funding request for Energy Northwest, which runs the existing nuclear power plant and on Hanford next to the Tri-Cities. And so this is for brand new advanced technology, small modular reactors that use a different kind of fuel that are, you know, meltdown proof. And actually just really small. You know, the thing is they can be manufactured offsite. They don't have to be built on site. They can be built offsite and then brought to the location. They're that small. So, you know, I was able to work, you know, with my Republican counterpart and make that happen. So, you know, that there's a lot that we can get done and, you know, looking forward to doing more with my counterparts.
I want to talk to you about a bill that you sponsored and it passed, and that had to do with streamlining some state procurement procedures. This is the kind of thing that people don't see headlines about because it isn't exciting, but it actually is good for the state. It's good for taxpayers.
Yeah. So another great thing about being a freshman and learning how things work is that we often get chosen to work with the agency. So I was able to work with Department of Enterprise Services, and they said, hey, we have a problem. Historically, the legislature and the state has taken the approach that we should really encourage just, you know, contracting with people in Washington. And so, you know, we protect our Washington suppliers and vendors, and we put them at a, you know, an advantage. And it turns out that, you know, every other state's thinking the same way. So when we, you know, discourage purchasing from vendors in other states, they do the same thing back. And we have like these miniature trade wars. And so what the bill you're talking about does is it takes down those barriers and it'll actually open up more and more trade, which is good for our vendors because they can sell now, you know, their products in Oregon and California and Texas and New York, and just really good for the economy, good for small and large business.
And the state can look for the lowest bidder on certain jobs that maybe they might not have been able to in the past.
Right. It helps out our economy. you know, we need to be as competitive as possible. So glad to help make a difference.
You know, somebody that I think both of us knew and respected quite a bit was Billy Frank Jr. And I know that one of the things that is in one of your recent newsletters was a picture of a new statue of Billy that is going to be installed at the Capitol and in the Hall of Statuary, I believe it's called, in the U.S. Capitol.
You're right. Billy Frank Jr. was, you know, one of the greatest leaders ever in our state. And, you know, how amazing is it that we were alive? Well, we're still alive. But we got to meet him in person. I think I first met him, you know, 25, 30 years ago when I was just a, you know, brand new kid right out of law school. But, you know, he's forever changed the course of our state. And it was focused around justice. It was focused around preserving a culture and preserving a species, salmon and native culture and native tradition. So, you know, it's incredible that he's being honored this way. And yeah, the artist and the governor and lieutenant governor unveiled the model statue. That work is going on. I think I just saw in the arts agency that there's some pictures of I think it's like a wax or it's a soft model that they're finishing up, you know, which you mean the actual size,
right?
And they'll use that to create a cast, and then they'll make the final statue, a few of them, one for the Capitol in Olympia and one for the Capitol in Congress in DC. And I can only imagine that that's going to be a huge party, and that the Nisqually tribe and Billy Frank Jr.'s son Willie, who's now the chairman, that's going to be quite an event. I can't wait for it.
One of the key features in this district, and also I believe in the 5th district, is Highway 18, which it's a good road in many parts, but there is a stretch that is just hellacious. You, Representative Intamin, Representative Callan, Representative Ramos have been instrumental in securing some pretty good change to get that highway widened.
Highway 18, you know, cuts right through our district, in Auburn all the way through Kent and Covington, and it hooks up with I-90. It's a wonderfully wide highway, except for when it goes over Tiger Mountain, the last 10 miles between Covington and I-90. And that, by all accounts, is, you know, it's a tricky drive. So it's been like a goal for a lot of us to have that highway fully widened so it's safe and can accommodate all the heavy trucks that go through that route, as well as all the people who commute. It's a major thoroughfare, and you know, this is all about making that road safe, especially at night. You can imagine going up and down and around a mountain. The visibility isn't always where, you know, it's not optimal all the time, and especially at night. So I think this, you know, will make a huge difference in terms of like personal safety for the average, you know, person in the district who's driving, but also for the truckers and everyone else who's using it more commercially. I also want to say that there's another major highway, 167, that goes north and south, and that too goes through Kent and through the 47th in Auburn. And, you know, there's another big project, the Gateway Project, to open that up to the Port of Tacoma. So, again, you know, if you drive up and down Auburn, Kent, and then south to the 31st, there's just a lot of warehouses, and there's a lot of shipping that goes all along this valley. And opening up the Gateway Project, again, will also have a really, really major impact on the movement and shipment of goods from our valley across the world, because the Port of Tacoma serves globally.
And there's a lot of agriculture in this district, and I think they could benefit certainly by having ways to get their goods to market quicker.
Yeah, you bet. Agriculture is important, and that'll help them too.
Let me ask you at this point, I know I've kept you here for a while, and I also want to talk about what's coming. You must have a set of priorities either left over from this particular biennium or that you have been working with people during this interim to come up with some plans for 25/26. What kind of priorities are you taking into the next session?
still working on how do we make our community safer. The problems around, you know, homelessness, around the drug crisis, they're not solved by any stretch. So there's a lot more work to be done there. I have talked already with a couple of tribes about, you know, they're interested in following the model of just building and operating on their own with their own funding, opioid treatment centers. But they'd also, you know, like to do that in a way that serves more people in the suburban areas. So they probably will be coming to us for funding for that. I hope to work on that. You know, one of the things that led me to work on the nuclear energy project is that our state is in desperate need of more power. So clean energy is very important. I love the new technology when it comes to nuclear, but I'm also not opposed to fusion. So I hope to work in the energy space to provide more power. We need more power. And especially as some of the big data companies, you know, are building facilities that will require more and more power. I also really want to see what we can do to help arrest the extinction of salmon and of the orcas. I mean, they are on a glide path to leaving our planet, and we have a limited amount of time. You know, some projects will probably take, you know, decades or a century, who knows, but this is something we got to get done in the next, you know, decade to really make a difference. So I'm looking forward to that. And then also, I guess lastly, you know, one of the things that matters to me a lot in the gaming world is the scourge of addiction. You know, there are a lot of people who are really struggling, who need help. And our state has not always funded treatment for problem gambling the way it could. So helping people in that space is really important to me. I introduced a bill last year that got to committee, but didn't make it out of the funding committee. And that's to create a diversion court for people who commit, you know, serious financial crimes related to gambling addiction. So there are models in the state of Nevada and some other states that have done them through the courts. So we can build on those models and I hope offer people more of a chance of recovery.
You know, one of the things we often talk about in these podcasts is how good ideas sometimes take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions before they finally come to fruition. And it sounds like this diversion plan you're talking about could be one of those.
I think so. I think we're seeing, you know, success with diversion. You know, we tackled a pretty big issue with drug addiction through the Blake decision last year, when instead of just simply saying, you know, you have to have intent and now it's a felony or a misdemeanor, we said, well, okay, so if you do, here's how we can get you help. And that obviously affects a lot more people. So I think we're making really good strides in that direction. And I'd like to just carry that over to the problem gambling world.
Chris, we've been here pretty much a half an hour, which I think is about as long as we had booked. I want to give you one chance here to kind of wrap up things. And until the next time we talk, how would you like to end this particular episode of Capital Ideas?
I want to just go back to something we talked briefly about, which is how much respect there is, I think, that members have for each other in Olympia. I think I'm really reassured about that. I'm grateful for it. And my experience has been, you know, working with members from across the aisle. There's so much dissension, anger, vitriol in American politics now. I don't say we have the solution here, but, you know, we understand how important it is that we are, you know, kind and respectful of one another. And that goes a long way. I think the lieutenant governor calls it civic health. But I'm a huge supporter. I'm all in, to use a gambling phrase, on civic health. And I just would hope that more and more people who listen to your podcast, you know, understand, you know, how actually good we have it.
I appreciate it, Chris. And I've really enjoyed talking to you. This has been a good chance to get to know you. And I hope that the listeners feel that way as well. Thank you, Representative Chris Stearns, District 47, for your inaugural appearance on Capital Ideas.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, there you have Representative Chris Stearns, and there you have another episode of Capital Ideas. If you're a subscriber, thank you. If you're not, it couldn't be easier. Just open up your preferred podcast aggregator and type in Capital Ideas, and that's capital with an O. Or you can visit the House Democratic Caucus website at housedemocrats.wa.gov, hit the media button at the top of the page, and take it from there. Either way, you'll never miss another episode. That's good, because what we talk about here is your state government, and what happens here matters. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first for 135 years with no end in sight. Thanks for your time.